RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo recalls Indonesia's maritime potential. Around 1,900 Rohingya refugees from Myanmar have been accommodated in shelters in Langsa Regency Aceh. Those are the lines, now the news in detail. I'm Dalapani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, inaugurated the revitalization of the Surabaya Western Access Channel and Teluk Lamong Terminal at Surabaya Tanjung Perak Port on Friday, May 22. Jokowi spoke before the audience, calling on regional heads and the people to pay attention on Indonesian maritime affairs. President Jokowi emphasized that the sea toll program will synergize ports starting from the smallest to the largest. The president added that the other ports were taking some improvements. He claimed that Kuala Tanjung Port in Belawan, North Sumatra, could be as large as Teluk Lamong. President Jokowi hoped that the integration of Indonesian ports would reduce transportation and logistics costs. He calculated that such costs could have been lowered by 1/3 or 50% of the original cost. Teluk Lamong Terminal was claimed as the first green terminal and the most sophisticated in Indonesia. By employing automatic operation system and being environmentally friendly, almost all the machines are powered by electricity and gas. President Joko Widodo said in Makassar on Friday that he will make every effort to meet electricity demand in Indonesia, giving priority to the eastern region. President Joko Widodo said the target within the five-year term of his government is to achieve 35,000 megawatts. He added that in the next 5 years of his government, with Vice President Yusuf Kalla, would be able to provide up to 35,000 megawatts of electricity. Although a huge budget will be needed to build the infrastructure, he is confident they can meet the target to support development in all sectors. On various occasions, President Joko Widodo has reiterated the importance of the availability of electricity as being crucial to boost Indonesia's economy. This is because without electricity, hotels will not improve, factories will not operate, and investments will be stagnant. In view of that, he urged stakeholders to be directly involved in the efforts to meet the 35,000 megawatts target, including inland acquisition for the projects. Since Tuesday, May 19, 2015, around 1,900 Rohingya refugees from Myanmar have been accommodated in shelters in Langsa Regency, Aceh. They were previously located in various areas such as in North Aceh and East Aceh. When contacted by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, head of subsection of Aceh's Baitul Mal or Jakat Agency Development, Bobby Nofrijan, in Langsa, Aceh, on Friday, said that all of Rohingya refugees did not specifically ask for help, but the National Jakat Agency for Aceh Province will still receive clothing and food assistance.
Hari-hari Selasa lalu, kita sudah kumpulkan semua merekanya di Kabupaten Langsat. Kemarin itu kan pecah-pecah, di Aceh Utara ada, di Aceh Timur ada.
Since last Tuesday, we've gathered all of the Rohingya refugees in Langsat Regency. Previously, they were placed in several places, such as in North Aceh, in East Aceh. So we gather all of them in Langsat in a building used to be a training center of logistic agency or Bulog. We will accept any kinds of assistance, such as clothing, blankets, instant noodles, eggs, food. They do not ask anything, they just accept what the people give to them.
Mereka kan tidak membawa apa-apa itu, Mas. Jadi apa yang dikasih masyarakat.
Furthermore, Bobby Nofrijan explained that besides food and clothing assistance, the National Jakarta Agency of Aceh Province also receive other assistance in the form of money that can be sent to several banks. According to Bobby, the condition of the refugees is very alarming because they had been on the sea for 3 months and did not get good food. During their stay in the shelters, the refugees have been given medicinal treatment and referred to the hospitals in Aceh for treatment because many of them suffer from the diarrheal disease. In addition, the Rohingya refugees will also be given training by the Aceh provincial government so that they can make money themselves. Bobby Nofrijan added, the Rohingya refugees have a special request that they wish to remain in Indonesia and do not want to be repatriated to their country. Meanwhile, a member of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, Muhammad Saiful Bahri Ansori, stated that the United Nations must urge Myanmar to immediately resolve the Rohingya problem. Saiful is of the opinion that there is a systematic effort from the government of Myanmar to expel the Rohingya. Saiful stated in a discussion theme, #SaveRohingya, Indonesian momentum to enforce global humanity on Friday afternoon in Jakarta. According to Saiful, there should be intervention involving the world body to deal with the internal problems of Myanmar.
Persoalan Rohingya itu sebenarnya bukan persoalan spontan, bukan? Itu ada, menurut saya, ada
Rohingya is not a spontaneous issue. It seems to me there is a systematic effort by the government of Myanmar. First, when a law which deprives Rohingya citizenship was published in 1982, of 132 ethnics in Myanmar, Rohingya was not included. And in 2012, when Rohingya people's houses were burned down and many of them died, and now they are expelled, it is systematic. Therefore, the issue should not only be handled by the ASEAN countries, but the United Nations should also intervene, just like handling conflict between Israel and Palestine is a matter of civil rights. I think that is the basic human rights that must be fought for.
In addition, Saiful said Indonesia can be a precursor to mobilize the ASEAN power in assisting Rohingya. Rohingya problem is a major human tragedy that requires handling shared by both countries, namely the countries of origin, Myanmar, and transit countries such as Indonesia and Thailand, and destination countries, namely Australia and Malaysia. According to Saiful, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs needs to have a roadmap related to the handling of the Rohingya because it is possible for Rohingya to be always accommodated in Indonesia. Based on the data of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, there are about 12,000 displaced migrants in several parts of Indonesia from 40 countries, including the Rohingya refugees and Bangladesh. The government estimates there are 7 to 8,000 asylum seekers who are still adrift at sea. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The director of the Islamic Relief and Service Center of Myanmar, Ustadz Muhammad Nasir, on Friday said that the Rohingya people are experiencing not only bad weather, but also bad treatment in Myanmar. The bad weather is happening in all the villages where Rohingya people live. These conditions make them susceptible to the temptation of becoming boat people by human smuggler. He said they are in a very, very difficult situation, and now the rainy season is coming, so food is also a problem. According to him, it is because of the very cold temperatures. It is not only a few, but all the villagers.
He added they cannot leave the village because of the bad weather, so it is difficult situation makes it easier for the human traffickers to convince them to go with the boat. Furthermore, Ustaz Muhammad Nasir said that the Myanmar government is not giving consideration or attention to Rohingya refugees issue. Therefore, he asked the international community to bring the issue to the international court to pressure the Myanmar government to act responsibly. The Indonesian House of Representatives, DPR, has targeted to complete the draft law on the revision of Law No. 22/2001 on oil and gas this year. It was said by Deputy Chairman of Commission 7, which oversees Energy and Mineral Resources Affairs of the DPR, Widya Yuda, in Jakarta on Friday. He added that the formulation of the draft law was initiated by the DPR, but the government also had the obligation to provide inputs. In addition, Yuda affirmed that the draft law on the revision of the law on oil and gas has been included in the National Legislation Program for completion this year. The inclusion of the draft law in the National Legislation Program was intended to encourage all sides, the government and the House of Representatives, to prepare materials to deliberate over the bill. If the subject is discussed in a plenary session of the parliament, the speaker will write to the president asking for relevant ministries to meet with the House of Representatives. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry will tender 10 oil and gas blocks in a new bidding round this year to supplement new working contracts secured earlier this year in a bid to increase output despite a waning investment appetite. The blocks are spread across the archipelago, comprising 4 conventional blocks to be tendered through open bidding, another 4 under the direct appointment scheme to oil and gas contractors that have performed studies in respective areas, as well as 2 unconventional shale blocks. The Ministry's Oil and Gas Director General, IGN Wiratmaja Puja, said his site is in the preparation stage that will start the new bidding round soon. Despite an expected slowdown in investment in the oil and gas sector due to the low global oil prices that has squeezed profit margins, Indonesia succeeded in securing new contracts for 13 blocks on Friday. The 13 new contracts were signed on the last day of the 39th Indonesian Petroleum Association Convention and Exhibition, with a combined investment commitment of $166.3 million, excluding $14.5 million in total signing bonuses, which is a one-time fee paid by contractors for the signing of a production sharing contract. Well, listener, that was the news. Some important events that happened this week are summarized in the press review. I'm Dalat Pari. Kompas newspaper, in its editorial, writes 17 years of reform dated May 21. 17 years ago, Indonesia entered a new era. President Suharto resigned as the president after 32 years in power. After May 21, 1998, Indonesia leaving authoritarianism entered the new era of democracy. President B.J. Habibie, who replaced Suharto, opened the tab of freedom of the press, freedom of association, and political freedom, amended the constitution to make state institutions in an equal and balanced position. The transition stages can be passed by Indonesia democratically. The circulation of the power allied takes place periodically during 5 years through peaceful elections. The transfer of power takes place and improve from period to period. Lastly, the transition of power from President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono to President Joko Widodo on October 20, 2014, went smoothly. Kompas writes, smooth power transition was not separated from the rule of President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, who wanted to pass down the tradition, good transition of power, and it worked. What has worked in Indonesia for 17 years is an achievement of democracy. According to Kompas, the democracy turns to be mature because power always goes with the tradition of constitutional mechanism through elections. There should be no idea of taking power without an election process. Elections are the only rules in the chain of power. The next press review is from Republika. This newspaper writes in its editorial, "Moves for Rohingya. The government of the Republic of Indonesia's willingness to accept the Rohingya refugees who fled from Myanmar truly commendable. While many other countries reject their existence, Indonesia provides the best treatment for them. On the name of humanity, the refugee is accepted and given food. Rohingya's tragedy, indeed a human tragedy, that should be the concern of all citizens of the world. They are stranded and never out of persecution." Republika writes, "Their citizenship is not recognized by Myanmar and Bangladesh. They live in the border region of the two countries. Myanmar's condition that tend to be closed makes their suffer would not be refilled. In such conditions, world institutions look half-hearted in resolving the plight of Rohingya. Protection against those who are persecuted are not running. Rohingya remains the victim of persecution and oppression. This is obviously a human tragedy that should be terminated immediately." According to Republika, Indonesia has a lot of steps to end the suffering of Rohingya. As chairman of the Indonesian Red Cross, Yusuf Kala once visited Rohingya. Many non-profit institutions from Indonesia channel many aid to them, a step that has already begun, according to Republika. It should be continued until the issue is really settled and no more crimes against humanity in the Rohingya. We end press review from Business Indonesia. The Daily, in its editorial, writes, "Putting the idea, Indonesia Incorporated." Earlier this week, Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala's government asked the state-owned enterprises, SOEs, to play a bigger role in infrastructure development, especially that is associated with the financing and the creation of intercompany synergy. Through state-owned enterprises, Minister Rini Sumarno, the government wants an increased synergy program of 119 state-owned enterprises owned directly by the state. As for the early realization of the program, namely the signing of 3 of understandings in the field of infrastructure, finance, and construction. According to Business Indonesia, when judging in depth, the concept of synergy between government and state-owned enterprises started by Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala was similar to Indonesia Incorporated concept that was first proposed by former Indonesian ambassador to Japan, Saidiman Suryo Hadiprojo, in 1970. In its development of Indonesian Incorporated emerged again when Tantri Abeng, the Minister of State, in 1998. Then it came back after President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono warned the urgency of the implementation of Indonesia Incorporated in 2012. In general, Indonesia Incorporated concept is the idea of requiring the creation of multi-synergy between the government and corporations in the integrated economic development. Unfortunately, until now, Indonesia Incorporated concept has not materialized. According to Business Indonesia, if it can be realized, certainly accelerating national economic growth is not difficult because of the investment and government spending can be optimized. The government also does not have to be hectic every year to increase tax revenues in order to increase income accounts. Well, listener, that was press review.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, we meet again with me, Steve, in our regular Today in History over at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on May 23, 1992, when Giovanni Falcone was killed. Giovanni Falcone was an Italian prosecuting magistrate. From his office in the Palace of Justice in Palermo or Sicily, he spent most of his professional life trying to overthrow the power of the Sicilian Mafia. After a long and distinguished career, culminating in the famous Maxi trial in 1986 to 1987, he was killed by the Corleonesi Mafia in May 1992 on the motorway near the town of Capaci. His life parallels that of his close friend, Paolo Borsellino. They both spent their early years in the same neighborhood in Palermo. And though many of their childhood friends grew up in the mafia background, both men fought on the other side of the war as prosecuting magistrates. They were both killed in 1992, a few months apart, in recognition of their tireless effort and sacrifice during the anti-mafia trials. They were both awarded the Italian Medaglia d'Oro al Valor Civile, or the gold medal for civil valor. They were also named as the heroes of the last 60 years in the November 13, 2006 issue of Time magazine. The next event was in 1997 when Sayed Mohammad Khatami was elected as president. Sayed Mohammad Khatami is an Iranian scholar, Shia theologian and reformist politician, running on a reform agenda. Khatami was elected as president on May 23, 1997, in what many have described as a remarkable election. Voter turnout was nearly 80%. Despite limited television airtime, most of which went to the conservative Speaker of Parliament and favored candidate Ali Akbar Natek Nuri, Khatami received 70% of the vote. Even in Qom, the center of theological training in Iran and conservative stronghold, 70% of voters cast their ballots for Khatami. He was then re-elected on June 8, 2001 for a second term and stepped down on August 3, 2005 after serving his maximum 2 consecutive terms according to Islamic Republic's constitution. And last event was in 2000 when Prime Minister Ehud Barak withdrew Israeli forces from the southern Lebanon. The South Lebanon conflict in 1985-2000, or the security zone conflict in Lebanon, refers to 15 years of warfare between Israel Defense Forces and its Lebanese proxy militias and Lebanese Muslim guerrillas led by the Iranian-backed Hezbollah within what was defined by Israelis as the security zone in South Lebanon. It can also refer to the continuation of conflict in this region, beginning with Palestine Liberation Organization OPLO operations transferred to South Lebanon following the civil war events of 1971 Black September in the Kingdom of Jordan. Historical tension between Palestinian refugee and Lebanese factions fomented in the violent Lebanese internal political struggle between many different factions. In light of this, the South Lebanon conflict can be seen as a part of Lebanese civil war. By the year 2000, following his campaign promise, newly elected Prime Minister Ehud Barak withdrew Israeli forces from the southern Lebanon within the year, in accordance with the United Nations Security Council Resolution No. 425 passed in 1978. The withdrawal consequently resulted in the immediate total collapse of the SLA. Despite the Israeli actions, the Lebanese government and Hezbollah still consider the withdrawal incomplete until Israel withdraws from Sheba Forbes. Following the withdrawal, Hezbollah has mobilized its military and civil control of the southern part of Lebanon. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on the World Bank offers loan to Indonesia. I'm Dalat Pani. On Wednesday, May 20, the World Bank's president, Jim Yong Kim, met with Indonesian President Joko Widodo in the Presidential Palace, Jakarta. In a press conference after the meeting, Jim said, "The World Bank offers loans of up to $11 billion, or about 143 billion rupiahs, in new funding program for 2019 to Indonesia." Jim said about $8 billion of the aid will be available for reconstruction and development in largest economy in Southeast Asia, an increase of 25% from the previous four-year period. Bids for a period of 2 to 4 years was primarily intended to assist investment in healthcare, business improvement, and tourism. According to Jim, the World Bank also paid attention to the fields of energy, infrastructure, roads, and ports. According to him, the experience of the World Bank that helps many countries in the world is expected to help Indonesia in developing the country. Jim said Indonesia's efforts to reduce poverty is quite successful. He said that Indonesia has successfully reduced the poverty from the previous of 24% in 2012 to 11.2% in 2014. According to Jim, the Indonesian government's effort to reduce poverty
in line with the World Bank's mission to eradicate extreme poverty by 2030. The World Bank also aims to increase income and well-being of 40% of the poor in low and middle-income countries. Meanwhile, Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro, to the press at the Parliament Building on Wednesday afternoon, claimed that the government will continue to seek financing or debt to patch up the budget deficit, including the potential to get a loan from the World Bank. He said the government will use the loan over by the World Bank, amounting to $11 billion, in accordance with their needs. Bambang explained that the loan is still 3 or 4 years, not effectively applied this year alone. Bambang did not explain in detail and the detail of the over of the loan, but he confirmed that the government of Indonesia will continue the partnership that has existed well with the multilateral institutions. Interested in supporting the financing of port projects in Indonesia, the World Bank President Jim Yong Kim also took time to visit 2 ports in Jakarta on Thursday, Sunda Kelapa Harbour and Port of Tanjung Priok. At Sunda Kelapa Harbour, Jim Yong Kim observed directly, Sinar Sembulu is a ship which transports staple food from Jakarta to Sumatra and Kalimantan. Well, listener, that was Focus.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with headline news. Here are some newspaper headlines published in Jakarta today, May the 23rd, 2015. We start with the headline of Kompas newspaper, which writes, Rural Development Activator now abandoned. 28 participants of Youth Graduates Activator and Rural Development Program from a number of provinces assigned in Maluku Province claimed the government has now abandoned and neglected them. For nearly 5 months, they do not get their allowance. As a result, Subhan, a participant from Aceh, died last Monday because he had no money for treatment. It was revealed by Ellie Ernawati, Bachelor Youth Activator Program participants in Rural Development Program in Ambon on Friday. They began serving in the Malukus in September 2013 and will expire in August this year. The program is the flagship program of the Ministry of Youth and Sports. In addition, not less than 791 facilitators of the National Program for Rural Empowerment Mandiri in East Nusa Tenggara are also neglected. This follows the government's policy through the Village Regional Development and Transmigration Dissolve Ministry, which was dissolved behind the program since January 2015 following the enactment of the Law No. 6 of 2014 on the village. Next is Republika newspaper, which writes in its headlines that police hold the rice test result. National Agency of Drug and Food has obtained result of laboratory tests of samples of rice, which allegedly is an artificial rice-based plastic. The laboratory test result have now been handed over to the police. Head of Legal and Public Relations of the agency, Janu Budi Parwanto, said that the National Agency of Drug and Food Agency has conducted laboratory tests containing synthetic rice at the request of the police. Results of the test sample was already known, but it could not present to the public. The reason, according to the legislation, the party entitled to inform the result of the test are the applicant checks the applicant, and that was the police. We conclude from Business Indonesia newspaper, who writes in its headlines, wrote in its deadline about maritime fuels. President Joko Widodo considered to merge state-owned logistic company to form a new holding company in order to reduce the high cost of logistic nationwide. In between port terminal inauguration Lamongan Bay in Surabaya on Friday, the president said smelting it will carry out on PT Pelabuhan Indonesia Persero, PT PAL Persero, and PT Dock and Shipping Persero. Overall, it is a maritime state enterprises that would support the concept of Tol C as envisioned by him. He said that the integration of national system for all ports in the land of the water can reduce logistic costs by 30-50%, so that domestic products will be cheaper and the competitiveness of export goods will increase. Well, that was Newspapers headlines of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the revitalization of the Surabaya Western Access Channel and Teluk Lamong Terminal at Surabaya Tanjung Perak Port on Friday. President Jokowi spoke on before the audience, calling on original hats and the people to pay attention on Indonesian maritime affairs. President Joko Widodo said in Makassar on Friday that he will make every effort to meet electricity demand in Indonesia, giving priority to the eastern region. President Jokowi said the target within the five-year terms of his government is to achieve 35,000 megawatts. Since Tuesday, May 19, around 1,900 Rohingya refugees from Myanmar have been accommodated in shelters in Langsa Regency, Aceh. They were previously located in various areas such as in North Aceh and East Aceh. A member of Commission 1 of the Indonesian House of Representatives, Muhammad Saiful Bahri Ansori, stated that the United Nations must urge Myanmar to immediately resolve the Rohingya problems. He is of the opinion that there is a systematic effort from the government of Myanmar to expel the Rohingya. The director of Islamic Relief and Service Center of Myanmar, Ustaz Muhammad Nasir, on Friday said that the Rohingya people are experiencing not only bad weather but also bad treatment in Myanmar. The bad weather is happening in all villages where Rohingya people live. These conditions make them susceptible to the temptation of becoming boat people by human smugglers. The House of Representatives has targeted to complete the draft law on the revision of Law No. 22/2001 on oil and gas this year. The Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry will tender 10 oil and gas blocks in a new bidding round this year to supplement new working contracts secured earlier this year in a bid to increase output despite waning investment appetite. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send send your answer along with your brief bio data, as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'm Steve. I will introduce you to the Mangrove Natural Tourism Park in Angke, Kapuk, North Jakarta. Stay tuned. Listener, if you are in Jakarta and do not have much time to tour to outside Jakarta, you can visit Mangrove Natural Tourism Park in Angke, Kapuk. This park is one of tourist destinations which has nature theme in North Jakarta. This park is located at Pantai Indah Kapuk area in North Jakarta. This place is able to become an alternative entertainment place for you who want to visit Jakarta. At this Angke Kapuk Natural Park, you are really able to back to the nature. At this park, you can enjoy the beautiful, comfortable, and cool nature. Angke Kapuk Natural Park also balances the density of citizens, vehicles, and also buildings in Jakarta. It gives coolness from the hot weather of Jakarta. This park is a natural preservation area which is dominated with mangrove trees and lived with chirping birds. This park is suitable for anybody to refresh their mind. Besides that, this park is also suitable for you who want to enjoy the natural beauty, especially at mangrove forests. While walking at this park, you can also rent a boat and feel a sensation to have an adventure like at the Amazon River, zigzagging through the forest and also small and large beaches. It is really pleasant, isn't it? Listener, this mangrove forest area can also become an education park for the children. At this area, the children are taught to plant mangrove to know how important it is to maintain and know the nature closer, so that they know the benefit and the importance of nature for human life. To give service and comfort to visitors, the management of the park has given complete facilities. There are cafe, restaurant, mosque, and restroom, as well as children's playground. If you want to stay overnight, you can rent a villa to enjoy the mangrove forest at the night. Listener, to go to Angke Kapuk Park is not difficult because it is located at the Pantai Indah Kapuk housing complex and you can use private or public transportation. Arriving at Suci Center of Buddha School, you can go down the housing complex under the gate of the Angke Kapuk Park. Listener, if you are in Jakarta, please set your time to visit mangrove forest of Angke Kapuk. And that was Indonesian Wonder for the day featuring Angke Kapuk Mangrove Park in North Jakarta. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting place to visit. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miss Leni, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing Portuguese colonialism in Aceh. So stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. In the 15th century, the Portuguese was one of the nations which had made much progress in technology. They were already able to make ships which were more viable and sophisticated in comparison to the previous vessels. It allowed people to go on a cruise and expand their powers to overseas. With pretext to dominate imported spices in Europe, the Portuguese looked for best spices in the producing places. Indonesia, which at that time was the biggest spice-producing country, was quite famous among the Europeans. Many Europeans came to dominate regions that had spices. Aceh was one of the Portuguese foothold regions to pave the way to controlling the spice. Though it was not the main target, the development of Aceh after the fall of Malacca was a major threat to the Portuguese. The fall of Malacca to the Portuguese in 1511 was a blessing in disguise for Aceh. Many Islamic traders flew from Malacca and moved to Aceh. As a result, Aceh became increasingly crowded with trading. This encouraged Aceh to develop into a port city and trade center. The development was so rapid that Aceh was considered by the Portuguese as a threat. Therefore, they decided to destroy Aceh. In 1523, the Portuguese attacked it under the leadership of Henrique and followed in 1524 by the Sousa. They failed, but the Portuguese constantly looked for ways to weaken the position of Aceh as a trading center. Portuguese ships always disturbed merchant ships heading for Aceh wherever they located. Naturally, this brought Aceh people's resistance against the Portuguese, and it reached its peak during the reign of Sultan Iskandar Muda between 1607 until 1636. There are a variety of ways made by the Sultanate of Aceh to fight against the Portuguese, one of which is blockading of the trade. People in Aceh were prohibited to sell pepper and tin to the Portuguese. Iskandar Muda was a brave king who aspired to get rid of foreign occupation, including expelling the Portuguese from Malacca. After successfully foiled Portuguese troops from attacking Aceh, the spirit of Sultan Iskandar Muda and the people of Aceh increasingly flared to rebel invaders. Sultan Iskandar Muda briefly initiated an attack to the Portuguese in Malacca before they reached Aceh. Based on information from the Sultan Malacca, Sultan Iskandar Muda of Aceh then declared a resistance against the Portuguese. Until finally, it was cornered and moved to other regions in Indonesia, namely Ternate, Maluku, and Tidore. Well, that was miscellany today about the Portuguese colonialism in Aceh.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Ani Hasana, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we will present Taxi Band. Their first single, entitled Sayangku, or in English means My Dear, was composed by Gotex. It tells about a man who is missing his lover and hopes someday they can be together again. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Sayangku, or My Dear, sung by Taxi Band.
Palukan hanya dipalukanku. terasa hidupku kini hampa bila kau tak ada di sini. Oh, sering ku rasa rindu ini menyiksa, sungguh terasa hidupku kini hampa bila
just listen to the first single from Taxi Band, Sayangku, or in English means My Dear. Taxi Band was established in Malang, East Java Province, on January 15, 2008. It started from a group of young men who have the same hobby to play music. The talent and experience of the band, consisting of Firman, the vocalist, Tony, the guitarist, Kunya, the bassist, Gotex, the drummer, Indra, the pianist, has united their vision and mission to distribute talent, creativity, emotion, and also various ideas in their songs. Taxi is a metamorphosis of a band which still wants to show professionalism, seriousness, and existence in music, a hope to give a new color in Indonesian music industry and to keep working for the future are points of success which satisfy Taxi Band and Dream Life Management. Well, boy listener, let's listen to the next song from Taxi Band entitled Apa Artiku, or in English means What is My Meaning?
Dengan
You are still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and that was Taxi Man with their song entitled Apa Artiku. This song was composed in 2005. It tells about someone who personally sees his lover dies. Well, Voice listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Taxi Man entitled Hujan Kemarin or Yesterday's Rain, and Sebelum Menutup Waktu or Before Closing the Time. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.